upon my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. I love Peter. Peter has got to be one of my favorite characters, and I mean that in the sense, the strongest sense of the word character in the Bible. This guy is a character. And I love Peter because he is such an encouragement to me. And he's not an encouragement to me primarily because he was a great man of God, which he was, or because he was a great apostle, which he was, or because of his willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through him and to heal those who were in need that Peter touched in his ministry. Peter's not even my hero because he was willing to go to death willingly for his Savior. Peter is my hero because he failed over and over and over again, and Jesus loved him anyway. He denied Jesus. You remember that? Jesus said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And even as Jesus is being led to trial, and various and sundry people come up to Peter and say, don't you know him? Aren't you a Galilean too? Weren't you with him? He denies and denies and denies until he hears the cock crow and remembers Jesus' prediction, and then he repents and weeps bitterly. But Jesus takes him back and, in fact, builds great ministry upon him. Peter's faith failed him all the time. And this is a man who was with Jesus almost from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, who saw the miracles, who saw the healings. In fact, the passage we heard read today came just after Peter had seen Jesus heal all of those in the crowd who were sick and then multiply bread and fish to feed probably 10,000 people altogether. So Jesus has performed miracle after miracle and taught time after time in the presence of Peter, and yet Peter's faith fails him again. So he's my hero. Matthew 14:22, we heard this read today. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Remember, this is the crowd that he has just fed, somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people. Only the men counted 5,000. There were women and children there as well. So probably 10,000 people or so. Jesus has just fed all of them after healing all of them, after hearing that his cousin John has been beheaded by Herod, and he'd gone off to be by himself, but the crowd pursued him, and he had compassion on them, and then spent his time with this crowd healing them and then feeding them. So now Jesus has made the disciples get into a boat, and it says he made them get into the boat, by the way, and go over to the other side, and Jesus dismissed the crowds. And then after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And I might just pause here and note that Jesus, the very Son of God, the Messiah, needed to take time to be by himself and pray. And this is something each of us in our own lives need also to do. I know I am as guilty of not doing this as anyone. Somehow the concerns of the day all seem to pile up. And if I get up early, it's got to be to get up early to do work because of all of those things on my list that I've got to do. And I work through the day because all of those things on my list aren't done. Then it gets to be night, and I spend some time with the kids, and then after they're in bed, then there are a few more things to be done. Or maybe I need to read a book to relax, and pretty soon the whole day has gone by without my taking time to be alone with my God and speak my cares and concerns and hopes and joys to him and listen to him for his word for me. And yet Jesus himself, who had to have been better connected to the Father than any one of us, he took time to go off and be by himself to pray. What better model could we have? And if this is something we've never done, or done only as a child and not quite understood, perhaps now as adults, we ought to just experiment and set aside a half an hour or an hour regularly during the week to just be quiet by ourselves and talk with our Father. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. It's interesting, when we read a passage like this, when we hear the whole passage, it's called sometimes a pericope or a pericope. It means a unit by itself. We hear the whole unit, but there is so much sometimes in each of these individual little sentences by themselves. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, this is with the disciples in it. Remember, Jesus has sent them on this boat. They didn't just randomly decide to get into a boat and go somewhere. Jesus told them to get in the boat and go across the sea, right? So they're there following Jesus' instructions. And it says that the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, and the wind was against them. So they're following Jesus' explicit instructions as to where they are to go and what they are to do. And has the sailing been smooth? Has the sea been like glass? Has the wind been favoring them? No, they're following Jesus' instructions, and yet it says, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, from what they knew as security and safety, and the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. So here they are in as much trouble as they could be in, probably fearing their own death coming any moment. They can't see the land. It's dark, for one thing. The waves are high and the wind is blowing very strong. The boat is battered. Surely they fear for their lives. And Jesus comes toward them miraculously, walking on the water, something no human being could do. And even as they see him approach, they are so filled with fear. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's our Savior. He's come to rescue us. It's the Lord. I see it's the Lord, and I know he'll be here any moment, and we will be safe." When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost. It's a ghost." So even though their Savior, who they know so well, is walking toward them, they say, "It's a ghost." And I think this is both the terror of the holy, because no man has ever walked on the sea, and yet they see this something coming toward them across the sea. Even if they recognize him, there is some terror even of the holy here, and they cried out in fear. And did Jesus allow this fear to remain in their hearts, that they would be frightened and quake even as they saw him? No. Immediately, it says, immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter, my hero, answered him. Peter always seems to be the first in whom that faith leaps forth, right? Peter is the first one to say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." He's the first to recognize that. He's the first. Always he's the first. So Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so Peter asks Jesus to give him faith by simply commanding him. And Jesus honors this in Peter, and he says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came to Jesus. No one has ever done this but Jesus, the Son of God. And yet he calls Peter out, and Peter, full of faith, knowing that this is his Messiah, that he has come in all of the fear and trembling that Peter has experienced with the waves washing over the boat and battering it, no sight of land in the dark of night, where they were sent by Jesus, but in great fear. Now, Peter sees his Lord and says, "Lord, just command me, and I will come on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter steps out of the boat and begins to walk on the water himself. Of course, by this time, Peter has seen enough that his faith would be firm and unfailing, right? But when he noticed the strong wind, and he became frightened. He's just seen Jesus come across the water. His faith is welled up in him. And he says, "Lord, just command me, and I will come on the water myself." Jesus says, "Come," and he steps right out on that water, full of faith. His very Lord is there in front of him, waiting for him. But somehow, for a moment, he takes his eyes off Jesus. And he notices the strong wind. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He notices the strong wind and immediately begins to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter is my hero. And if we look at his life, we see again and again how his faith fails. Surely this is true for each of us. I am Peter. I suspect you are Peter. And it is Peter's life which shows us how faithful Jesus is to come back again and again and again. And the hand is always there to lift us up. We also need to realize how Jesus lives through us and among us. We need to recognize his presence here as this body of Christ. I was going to say in this body of Christ. I don't want to say more than that. Jesus is here as this body of Christ. He describes us as his body. And it is as we act as the hands of Jesus that we are able to lift each other up. When one of our faith, the faith of one of us, begins to fail and we sink, when the waves begin to batter against the boats that each of us occupy and we become frightened by the wind and the waves, even when we begin to walk in faith in miraculous ways and we take our eyes off Jesus and we begin to sink, then we are his hands to encourage each other in the faith, to encourage each other to put our eyes back where they belong, and to offer each other hands to lift up when the water would overcome us. Peter sinks, but he doesn't go under because the hand of Jesus is there to lift him out. And when we are lifted by others, it is Jesus who lifts us. So let us not fail to recognize his presence here. This is his body. For each of us, as the one whose faith begins to fail, or as the one who acts as the hands of Jesus, let us recognize his presence here, that our faith might be strengthened and that we might lift each other as his hands when we are frightened and when we fail and when we need comfort. Peter sinks. Each of us sink. We don't go under because Jesus is always there. He is faithful to save us. Amen.